I'm Vincent Toops, and a couple of months ago I wrote a blog post about using monads to draw turtle graphics to the screen. I was lucky enough to be able to give that talk, a talk version of that post at RacketCon, and while there I had only 15 minutes to give it in, so I promised everybody I would make a longer version so I could belabor some of the more subtle points a little bit longer, and so that's what this is. So you can see from the title up here that this is a talk about purely functional turtle graphics with monads, and it basically is a monad tutorial. So the upshot is we're going to be using turtle graphics to draw pretty pictures, and we're not going to have any state modification throughout. And that'll be an excuse for us to learn about monads. Okay, so what's the goals of the talk? Well, the first is to understand at least one monad, or two. And the way we're going to do that is use monads to represent purely functional turtle graphics. So we want to basically have no state modifications. We're never going to change any data in memory anywhere. And in addition to those two things, I want to try to justify the use of monads, the use of this pure technique, by extending the system in such a way that we can demonstrate why it's easy to use monads to do certain kinds of things. Okay, so if you never use turtle graphics or you forgot what they are, turtle graphics is a way of basically creating programmatic art, and it works by telling a turtle to draw a picture, and you give a series of commands to the turtle as if you're telling it to move in particular ways. And as the turtle moves, it draws a picture. So for instance, a particular piece of turtle graphics code might say, move 10 units up, turn by pi over 2, move 15 units, turn by pi over 4, move 20 units. And that piece of code, for instance, if the turtle starts facing to the right, will draw this little picture down here. So we're going to implement this, but we're going to implement it without using any state. Now, if you think about turtle graphics, several observations will just sort of pop right up at you. The first is that this is an obviously stateful problem, which means that it's a good problem to use to demonstrate the use of monadic computations, because they'll let us simulate state. And the state that we'll have to simulate will include things like the position of the turtle in space, its heading, whether it's drawing or not drawing as it moves, color maybe, things that it might want to remember, that kind of stuff. And what we're going to do now is try to figure out how to do that without having any side effects at all. Now, if you're even reasonably familiar with functional programming, several things will probably pop into your mind. The first is that we can just use some kind of nice persistent data structure to represent our turtle. And I've chosen to use an association list, which is just a list of key value pairs. And you can see that this function called makeTurtle creates a fresh turtle association list that will use as the state of our program. And it's just a list of position and what direction it's facing and whether the pen state is down, for instance. And now we want to say, well, how do we represent commands like move in a certain direction or whatever? Well, each command is going to be some kind of function which accepts a turtle state and returns a new turtle state. So it turns out that the right way to think about this monadically, or one way to think about it monadically, is going to be all about building these turtle commands up from simpler turtle commands. And so it turns out that given that constraint, you will want to actually return more than just the turtle state, because one of the things we're going to try to capture is the ability for the result of a command to affect further command evaluations. So each turtle command is going to do something to the turtle, but it might also want to sort of pass a message to future commands during the composition process. So we need to have some way of passing that message down. And the way we'll do that is by letting our turtle functions return two values. They'll return the state of the turtle if it's been modified, and they'll also return some proper return value, some kind of value that represents the outcome of the computation, which we'll call the proper return value at the rest of the talk. And we'll return these two values just in a regular doublet. We're not going to use multiple values. So commands or turtle functions are going to be functions which accept a turtle state, they modify it, and they return a pair of things, the proper return value and the new state. So here is our data structure doublet that's going to represent that state. And then here are some examples of functions. Now you'll notice immediately that we're doing something a little bit funny, and that these turtle functions, this function move, for instance, is not itself a turtle command. It parameterizes a turtle command. So it takes a single argument, the distance, and it returns a turtle function which just takes the turtle state that moves by that distance. And that's because we create a closure over this variable distance. Now, why are we doing this? Well, because what we'd like to have is all of our turtle functions that we're going to consider, we want them to have a uniform shape, so uniform input-output relationship. And that the way we achieve that is by currying off the arguments that specify that turtle command. So rather than making this one function, we're going to actually create a parameterized turtle function move. And you can see how that function works. It returns a turtle state. It returns a turtle command that takes a turtle state. It takes the value of the position out of the turtle state, the facing. It creates the new position. And then, like we said before, it checks to see if this new position is on screen. Imagine that function was defined somewhere. And if it is on screen, then it just returns the new position as the proper return value. And the second part is the turtle state modified to that new position. And if the turtle is moved off screen, well, we don't actually set the new position, and we return false to indicate that our turtle command has failed. It didn't do anything. And you can see turtle turn is a similar story. It's actually a parameterized turtle function, parameterized over this input amount. And that's so that the turtle commands all have the same interface. Okay. So now, I mentioned before that we're really going to be interested in connecting these turtle functions together in such a way that future turtle commands can depend on the proper return values of previous turtle commands. And in order to do that, we have to think about some more abstract operations in the turtle command lexicon. And one of those abstract operations, which will be more obvious why it's useful later, is called turtle return. And this just takes an item, anything, any value at all, and inserts it into this stream of commands. So if you're outside of this command construction process, but you really want to sneak a value into the stream of turtle commands, you use this function turtle return to do that, because it just returns an unmodified turtle state, and its proper return value is the item itself. Okay, and now we're at the meat, because we want to talk about one step in this process of combining turtle functions. So we've defined this function called turtlebind, and it takes a turtle function, which is a command, and then it takes a second argument, which is a turtle function producer. And you should think of this turtle function producer as a computation which is waiting for the previous value produced by the turtle commands so that it can calculate what to do next. And you see that turtlebind returns a new turtle command. So this is never actually executing the turtle commands, it's just constructing a new one. But inside this new turtle command, we apply the turtle function to the state that's passed in. We deconstruct, using brackets match syntax, the proper return value, the first part of that doublet, and the new state. We use that proper return value to calculate a new turtle function, and then we apply that new turtle function to the new state that we calculated. So this represents a single step in the turtle function compositions procedure. And you can see that here, when we apply turtle function producer to the proper return value, this is what, you know, the essence of the algorithm. We're actually using the previous calculated proper return value to calculate a new turtle function. So this enables our turtle functions to depend on previous outcomes. Okay, so now we've talked about enough preliminary material to really understand what a monad is, at least in the context of these turtle functions. So in the inside is that turtle functions, along with turtle return and turtle bind, form a monad. And if you're like me, or you're like lots of people, you'll say, what is a monad? And if you look it up on Google, you'll see a lot of Haskellers saying stuff like, there are these operations, bind and return, and these types, monadic values and monadic functions, and values, and blah, 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 blah. And then they'll talk about these invariants about bind and return, and different ways you can shuffle them together to get different results. And A will be a monadic value, and you'll probably be confused and still not understand what monads are all about. But it's at this point where using Lisp to understand is actually really helpful, because instead of just having the do notation, which is intimately related to monads in Haskell, we'll build our do notation up. And building up that syntax ourselves will help us understand exactly what a monad is. And what we'll understand when we do that is that a monad is a way of extending the idea of variable binding. So we can start to understand that by just thinking about Lisp's regular old let star. And if you're not really familiar with Lisp, let star is the way we introduce nested variable bindings. So So this is an expression which binds this variable x to the value 10. It binds y to the value of plus x1. And then in this last section here, we have a context where x and y are defined. We can calculate some value. Now, if you didn't have let star in your language and you wanted to define it, you might define a function called simple bind that takes a value and a function and just applies that function to the value. And then you could expand let star, the same let star expression up here, as this expression here, simple bind 10 to the variable x in this lambda, in which we simple bind x plus 11 to the variable y in this lambda and execute the body plus xy. And if you think about it, these two expressions here are identical. And what we've done is use the fact that lambda can represent a computation waiting for a variable binding to simulate these variable bound contexts. And so each application of sample bind should be thought of as binding this variable x to this value 10. And note that this lambda here can be thought of as a computation waiting for some value in order to calculate what it's supposed to do, much like our turtle functions, our turtle function producer in turtle bind is a computation waiting for a value, in that case the proper return value, not just the regular value. Okay, so now that we've defined let star in terms of simple bind, we can naturally ask ourselves, what if we replace simple bind with a richer operation, an operation that has more, does more stuff for us? Well, imagine a special form called turtle let star, which you could define using any kind of macro system you wanted. Turtle let star looks just like a let expression in the sense that there's a symbol and a value, and another symbol and a value, and then a body that's executed in the context of something like bindings, and it expands to this. Just like the previous expression, instead of saying simple bind, we now say bind. Let's try and figure out what this does, but instead of tackling it line by line right now, let's just go and ask ourselves, well, what's the value of calculating this expression, turtle let star, new facing, new position, return, new position, to a fresh instance of our turtle state? Well, the value, it's totally legitimate scheme code, it will run, and the value you'll get is a turtle state now at minus 10, 0, and a facing of pi over 2. So turtle let star evidently produces a turtle function. That function needs to be applied to a turtle state to calculate the result. And just in case you're curious, the turtle monad that we've created here is really just what you would call the state monad in Haskell, or the state monad anywhere. So now let's try to understand exactly how that worked. Well, what happens is that the values that are appearing in the value part of the binding expression are calculated. So what's turn pi over 2? Well, it's a turtle command that turns the turtle pi over 2. What we're going to say is that we want to bind the variable new facing to the proper return value of that command, which is the facing of the turtle. And then we're going to, once we've calculated this return value in our delayed turtle construction, we go inside the body of that new turtle construction. We calculate the result of move 10, which is another turtle command. We take the proper return value, bind that to new position, and finally calculate this inner body. And in the inner body, we say turtle return new position. Well, this creates a turtle function which does nothing but return the current turtle state and the new position as the proper return value. So these two lines here bind variables to the proper return values of turtle functions, and the body constructs a new turtle function. So the turtle let star expression, whenever you put a turtle return in the body's position, constructs new turtle functions, which can then be applied. Okay, so even though we didn't use one of the key features here, which is dependency of previous dependency of future turtle calculations on previous return values, we'll use that in the next part of the talk. Okay, so now we can talk about actually drawing things. And the way we're going to do that is by extending our turtle to not just remember where it is, but all of the things that it's drawn. So now we have this additional association in our association list called things to draw. And we can write a function called addLineBetween. This function is constructed with turtle let star and depends on p1 and p2. So it's a parameterized turtle function like all of our other functions. And what it does basically is extract the value of things to draw, cons a new line segment onto it from p1 to p2, and then sets that back into there and returns the things that we've the accumulated list of things to draw. Finally, we can use Racket's built-in Pict and slideshow library, which we use to create this talk, to actually draw that into a picture, which we can interact with at the command line or at the interaction REPL in Dr. Racket. So what this basically does is create a bitmap, get a device context for that bitmap, apply a turtle function fun to a fresh turtle state, extract the things to draw, and then draws them to the device context and returns a pict. And once we do that, we can do neat stuff like this. We set our position to 150/150. We store a value in the memory of the turtle, which is this at the symbol length. And then we use a combinator, which I didn't show the implementation of here, but you can look it up in my GitHub, that repeats 250 times this turtle command, which basically turns just a little bit less than pi over 2, and then draws, and then repeats this process over and over again, and you get this fun spiral. Okay, so now we have a state monad, and we want to basically extend our turtle graphics in some interesting way to demonstrate how useful it is to think monadically. And the way we're going to try to do that is by extending our system to include symmetrical operations, because that's actually kind of hard right now with regular turtle graphics. If you want to draw a Y, for instance, with regular turtle graphics, you either have to backtrack over part of the drawing you've drawn before or jump around. So what we'd like to do is be able to tell our turtle to face north, move 10 degrees, and then turn 45 degrees left and right at the same time, and then move 7. And if the turtle can be taught to do both these things at once, then we'll have a turtle that really knows how to draw symmetric pictures really well. So we're going to create a new turtle monad capable of step 3. And it's a little bit hard to think about the right way to start approaching this question, but I think one way to do it is to consider turtle commands. And we want our previous turtle commands that only did one thing at a time accepted a turtle state, and they returned a doublet, a new proper return value and a new turtle state. Well, what we're going to want to do is separate our turtles into global memory and turtle-specific memory, because the global memory will be used for drawing things into and maybe communicating between turtles, but the local states have to be separated because we're going to have multiple local states. And so our turtle commands, you might naively think, should accept a doublet themselves, the doublet consisting of a local state and a global state, and they should return the modified global state, but also all the possible modified local states. So if they do multiple things at once, we'll actually return a list of outcomes, and they will include a proper return value and a modified local state each, and those will be threaded over through the rest of the computation. And we're going to do that by basically returning a doublet that contains a list of local states and proper return values, and then the global state in the second part of the doublet. So now our turtle state looks different. It's a doublet itself. It has the local state in the first part and the global state in the second part. For now, we're only storing the drawing in the global state. And then one really good way to get a handle on a monad is to think about the return operation, because that's in some sense the simplest parameterized monadic function. And that looks just like this. We pass in a state doublet, we extract the local state and global state from that doublet, and we insert our item into this list of returned local states with the unmodified local state and unmodified global state. And okay, now here is the big slide in the talk. This is Turtle's bind. This is the parallel version of bind. And even though it looks like a lot of stuff, I think it's best to just describe it in words what we're going to do. This again takes a turtle function and a turtle function producer. It extracts the local state and it applies the turtle function to the state that's passed in. That results in a list of local doublets and a global state. What we're going to do now is loop over this list of local doublets, construct a new turtle function with each of the proper return values from the local states, and then we're going to apply that new turtle function to the global state and the local state combined, and we're going to extract the global state and fold it through this process. So every time a turtle does something, it modifies the global state, and we pass that global state along to the next one. And as we do this, we just accumulate all of the local states into a big list, which we finally return as a doublet. All of the local sub-doublets plus the global state. And it's probably best if you download the code and actually read through this a couple times to get it, but that's the basic idea. Now we can start doing something interesting. For instance, we can write a function called splitset. And what this will do is actually split our computation up so that the value symbol is bound to multiple actual values. So our code will proceed over all those different bindings. And what that looks like is this. It takes a state doublet, it destructures it, and then it maps all of these over the values, something that produces a doublet of the value and the modified local state. So if you pass in x and then 1, 2, 3, you end up with three items in this list of local states. X is the proper return value, 1, 2, 3 each time. And these dictionaries that represent the modified local states, one of them has x equals 1, one is x equals 2, one is x equals 3. And then bind will basically thread all of those values through further computations. And I think the best thing to do is look at an example. Here's a turtles function that just draws a spiraling shape parameterized by the number of turns we make and the eccentricity. And then here is the and then here's some code that uses these new capabilities of our turtles function. So the first thing we do is actually set our position to four different points at once. We then create an eccentricity that depends on whether or not x and y are equal to one another. So now we can do computations which depend on previous conditions. And when we finally execute this whole body of code, we get four different flower patterns drawn by spiraling shape. Because we started from four different positions and we have two different eccentricities. So this lets us draw these drawings with a high degree of symmetry with just a few commands. So here are the conclusions, and I'm actually really crossing my fingers that the presentation recorded the audio this time. Monadic computations facilitate elegant representation of purely functional code by extending the notion of variable binding. So what's the real thing happening here? Well, what we've actually accomplished is pushed all of the management of passing around state and passing around return values into the bind operation, and then we use a little bit of syntax to make that all sort of vanish, and we can write what looks like regular old procedural code, but it's all purely functional. And then the other nice thing is when we wanted to extend our monad, or extend the capabilities of our system, what we really had to do is just think about getting bind right. So we basically put all our intellectual effort into one place, and that produces a whole new interesting system. It's like a new domain-specific language. And really, all the hard work is getting in this one operation right. And once you get it right, it's done. So anyway, that's the story. And I hope it was helpful to people. You can find all the code that I talk about here on my GitHub at this address. It'll be posted with my blog. And you can look at my blog, Doraphone, at blog.blogspot.com for all bunch of other Scheme and Lisp and programming related content and a bunch of other stuff. And thank you for watching. I hope it was useful.